This is Radio Iowa's podcast. I'm Stella Schaffer. A state house committee is okay to bill to raise Iowa's minimum wage. Radio Iowa's Matt Kelly says it'd go up by more than $2 an hour over the next 11 months.
Democrats say it'll help working families, while Republicans say it'll strip all profits from small businesses in rural Iowa. The bill would raise the wage from $5.15 an hour to $7.25 by January 1st.
It may be a race to beat Congress, which is also pondering a hike in the federal minimum wage. Government money spent on local job training programs or misspent in a salary scandal that broke last year has led to criminal charges now for several executives of the Central Iowa Employment and Training Consortium. U.S. Attorney Matt Whitaker held a news conference to name 52-year-old Ramona Cunningham, the former CEO of CTEC, 67-year-old Karen Tisdell, CTEC's former chief accountant, 52-year-old Jane Bardo, former deputy director of Iowa Workforce Development, and 57-year-old Archie Brooks, a longtime Des Moines City councilman who was chairman of the board that oversaw CTEC and who resigned after the scandal broke.
A fifth defendant, John Bargeman, the former chief operating officer of CTEC, appeared before district court judge earlier this afternoon and pled guilty to a two-count information charging conspiracy to defraud and misapply federal funds, together with fraud and misapplication of federal program funds.
Part of that plea deal, Bargeman will testify against the others. Prosecutors say recovering the taxpayers' money may involve seizing property of the people accused. I phoned the media spokesman for the Iowa National Guard the day after the president's speech last week about sending more troops to Iraq. Lieutenant Colonel Greg Hapgood said, not yet. He had a message to give to the families of all the soldiers, and only when that was done would he call me back with the news.
We received word from the Department of Defense and the National Guard Bureau that approximately 640 Iowa Army National Guard soldiers would be extended in the Iraq theater for up to 125 days.
But he's not in charge of telling the troops their new orders, and on this occasion, soldiers say whoever was dropped the ball.
This extension was first announced through the media, not through normal command channels, as I believe it should have been.
Lieutenant Colonel Ben Correll is commander of the Iowa National Guard's 1st Battalion, 133rd Infantry.
We were unable to confirm the extension for 4 days. This delay was itself a concern, as we were receiving information through the media sources that we could gather and through our families back home.
Correll says the unit ministry team and counselors were helping any soldiers who had a problem with the extended deployment. And the colonel says despite fighting what he called an adaptive enemy, they patrolled over 1.5 million miles through Iraq, escorted tens of thousands of vehicles, found hundreds of improvised explosive devices. They've upgraded over 200 armored vehicles, and they've re-enlisted over half of the eligible soldiers. Some 640 soldiers are affected by the extension, 560 of them from the 133rd, headquartered in Waterloo. Other units of the 133rd are based in Charles City, Iowa Falls, Dubuque, and Olwine. January is the time of year to start thinking about Iowa's presidential caucuses, no matter what year it is. A Colorado congressman who may run for president visited Iowa. Republican Congressman Tom Tancredo has written the book In Mortal Danger to outline his argument that the U.S. needs to crack down on illegal immigration. He appeared in two Iowa bookstores to autograph copies of the book.
It's ironic in a way that we talk about Iraq as much as we do because of its importance to our national security, but we leave off the table for public discussion an issue that is just as important to our national security, and perhaps even more so in the bigger picture, in terms of our ability to maintain our culture, and essentially therefore to maintain our strength in the clash of civilizations in which we find ourselves.
Tancredo says he'll make his mind up soon and says he's closer to launching a campaign for the White House because other candidates who are already in the race have failed to adequately address the immigration issue.
The fact is, no one, up to this point in time, none of the, what I call, you know, the tall guys with good hair, the ones who are the, quote, serious candidates, none of them are addressing it. None of them really want to address it.
Tancredo says there should be an investigation to see if Swift administrators were conspiring to bring illegal immigrants into the country to work as meatpackers. Tancredo even goes so far as to label the Immigration and Customs Enforcement raids that went on just before Christmas more show than substance. Illinois Senator Barack Obama has begun phoning key Iowa Democrats as he prepares to seek the Democratic Party's presidential nomination. Obama filed papers this week to form an an exploratory committee, a step presidential candidates take before they formally declare their intentions to run for the White House. Shortly before doing that, Obama talked with Mike Gronstahl. The Democratic leader of the Iowa Senate told Obama he'd be welcome to speak privately with the 30 Democrats who serve in the Iowa Senate.
And certainly be happy to get him in touch with anybody in any of the communities that he might be visiting.
Iowa's reportedly the next stop on his itinerary. Gronstahl told Obama he'll have to spend time in Iowa to win over the hearts and minds of Iowans.
I told him that he would need to come to Iowa and he would need to stand in living rooms and take questions from caucus attenders.
He told them the caucus attenders are very studious about their job of picking a presidential nominee. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani has hired former Iowa Congressman Jim Nussle to help lay the groundwork in Iowa for a Giuliani for President campaign. Giuliani favors abortion rights, while Nussle campaigned on a very conservative and pro-life platform. Nussle says when Giuliani outlines his positions, people will be surprised.
And what I learned in talking to him about the social issues is that he's not as moderate, I guess, as some would paint him.
Nussle charges the media likes to put people into compartments, but he says Giuliani is much more conservative than he has been painted by reporters and some opponents. A 52-year-old Chicago businessman claims he is the best organized of any of the Republicans who are running for president.
We've got volunteer coordinators in every single one of the 99 counties in Iowa.
John Cox this week made his 14th trip to Iowa with stops in Des Moines, Clarion, Okoboji, and Estherville.
We are, I think, by far the best organized of any presidential candidate in the state.
Cox does not show up with any numbers in polls of likely Republican caucus goers, but says that's because the mainstream media isn't paying attention to his candidacy.
The other guys are spending huge amounts of money to hire the political professionals. We're going to the grassroots.
He cites a Republican activist in the Mason City area declaring him the best hope for keeping the presidency in 2008. But when contacted, Dee Byerly told Radio Iowa, Cox is a very nice man, but she is not supporting him. A woman whose burned body was found in a Scott County farmer's field has been identified as 41-year-old Angela Marie Hennis of Davenport. Not much information came out in the early days of the investigation, though in addition to past arrests for theft, forgery, and prostitution, court records from custody hearings show Hennis admitted problems with methamphetamine. Police are handling her death as a homicide. On Thursday, authorities in the Cedar Rapids suburb of Marion announced they'd arrested a local man who'd moved back in with his mother after his divorce and bankruptcy. Police records clerk Renee Fenchel says a friend of 62-year-old Linda Kowalski asked them to check into the disappearance of the missing woman. Nobody had heard from her since Thanksgiving.
On January 16, 2007, the victim's vehicle was located at Quinn Storage Garages. The storage unit was secured, and the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation was requested to provide investigative and laboratory assistance. The victim's body was recovered from the trunk of her vehicle.
44-year-old Troy Kowalski told officers he'd gotten angry at his mother one day late in October and grabbed her around the neck, choking her. He's jailed in Linn County on $1 million bond. The son of one of the three rock and roll legends killed in a 1959 plane crash near Clear Lake has hired a forensic anthropologist to investigate his father's death. Bob Fisher reports.
Jay Richardson, the son of the big bopper J.P. Richardson, is hoping he can settle the rumors about a gun that might have been on the plane. And also carry Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and Clear Lake pilot Roger Peterson, and whether his father could have survived the crash and died later after trying to go for help. The Big Bopper's remains will be exhumed from his grave in Beaumont, Texas, with Dr. Bill Bass of the University of Tennessee studying them. Bass is an expert in determining identities and causes of death. The Bopper's remains will then be returned to a new grave in Beaumont. Bob Fisher, Radio Iowa, Clear Lake.
The mild winter weather that set records in December came to an abrupt end this week. Snow, ice, and cold proved deadly. A three-vehicle crash near Hull in northwest Iowa Sunday afternoon left two people dead and three injured, as Larry Schmitz reported.
Those killed were 20-year-old Raymond Todd Katka Jr. of Rock Rapids and a passenger in the vehicle he was driving, 4-month-old Cody Holtrup of Sheldon. Two other passengers in that vehicle were injured, were taken to the Sioux Center Hospital, and later transferred to Mercy Medical Center in Sioux City. The accident occurred around 3:30 p.m. Sunday and remains under investigation by the Sioux County Sheriff's Office and Iowa State Patrol. Orange Mets Radio Iowa, Lamars.
A 36-year-old Texas man died when he lost control of his car and slammed into a bridge pillar while driving northbound on Interstate 35 near County Road B-20, just north of Clear Lake. The Iowa State Patrol says that accident happened about 4 Sunday afternoon as freezing rain was falling there. The same storms blamed on a Sunday afternoon crash that killed 3 Fort Dodge residents. Pat Powers reported that one.
28-year-old Michael Evan Reed, his passengers, 24-year-old Andrea Lee Reed and 3-year-old Isabel Reed, died in the two-vehicle accident about 4 miles north of U.S. Highway 30 near Boone. Highway 17 was 100% snow and ice covered at the time. The Reed's vehicle lost control and slid in front of a 2005 Chrysler Pacifica driven by Michelle Koch of Gaithersburg, Maryland. Koch was taken to the Boone County Hospital along with her passenger. They were treated and later released. Reporting for Radio Iowa from Webster City, I'm Pat Powers.
Thursday evening, a light freezing rain made Interstate 35 treacherous. Just north of Ames, Manuela DaCosta Erickson of Story City lost control of her Jeep, crossed the median, and hit a pickup head-on. She was 50 years old. On Thursday morning, a 20-year-old West Union man rounded a corner, found his car sliding out of control, and slammed head-on into a North Fayette school bus, stopped to pick up students. 15 kids and the driver were checked at a hospital, none seriously hurt. A janitor at the hospital in Grinnell died Monday morning when he fell off the roof. Medical Center spokeswoman Denise Lanfear explains Randy Criswell was clearing snow from a helicopter landing pad.
Randy was using a lawn tractor with a snow blade attached to it to remove snow from the one-story helipad that is used for landing emergency helicopters at GRMC. We don't have all of the details at this time, and we may never.
The 42-year-old Criswell fell with the tractor to the ground about 18 feet, died of head and chest injuries. If it seems to you like a lot of drivers sharing the road this week didn't have much skill in winter driving, that's likely to be true. Tom Mays at Iowa State University's Center for Transportation Research and Education has done studies that confirm during nice weather we forget a lot of the bad weather driving skills.
It's the worst time to be out is at the, you know, the first storm of the year, particularly if there's something where it's not just snow, it's snow and ice.
He says it's clear Iowans relearn the skill every year as the rate of weather-related wrecks will go down before the end of winter, even when it storms again. And though it happened as the storm moved on, this one wasn't a weather-related road incident. A police cruiser stolen over the weekend in western Iowa was recovered Sunday in Nebraska. Rick Hansen reports.
The 2006 Ford Crown Victoria cruiser belonging to the Council Bluffs Police Department was stolen Saturday evening after police were called to check on the welfare of a man seen walking along the Interstate 480 bridge. The officer gave the black male a ride to 10th and Dodge Streets in Omaha in the back seat of the cruiser. As soon as he was out of the vehicle, the man jumped in the front passenger seat and crawled across to the driver's side and took control of the car. The fully marked cruiser was located Sunday night in west central Omaha, not far from Interstate 680. Authorities say the vehicle was unoccupied and appeared to be undamaged. It was towed to the Omaha PD impound lot for processing. The suspect in the theft was described as being in his late 20s, 6 feet 2 inches tall, weighing 180 pounds. He wore a black down-style coat, dark stocking cap, and dark pants. The incident remains under investigation. In Atlantic, I'm Rick Hansen for Radio Iowa News.
Here's an update on that strange story. Monday night around midnight, police got a call that a naked man was running around in the snow. And an officer who arrived says the man tried to open the door of his cruiser, saying, "I'm the one who took your car." The man wouldn't stand still or cooperate. After using pepper spray and a taser with no effect, several cops tackled him and took him to a Council Bluffs hospital and from there to jail. 35-year-old Carlo Parti of Omaha is charged with public exposure and interference with a police officer, and they're going to have him examined. Iowa Workforce Development Analyst Ann Wagner says unemployment was up slightly in December at 3.5%.
Our non-farm jobs for the state were the highest they've ever been for the month of December at 1,520,200. Over the month, non-farm jobs were up 3,600. Over the year, 24,500. And over the month, manufacturing was the leading industry in terms of job growth, adding 1,300 jobs to the state's economy.
She crunches a lot of numbers. She says a total of 59,200 people were unemployed in December. That's compared to 74,800 1 year ago. Communities all across the state spent Monday celebrating equality and diversity, celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The observance honors the civil rights leader assassinated in 1968. It's a federal holiday now. State Representative Akeo Abdul-Samad says he was a high school student in the 1960s, inspired by King to lobby the Des Moines School District for change.
The top issue was a stronger teacher union. And then we wanted African-American history in the schools because during that time, if you remember, African history was not being taught in the majority of schools in the North. You know, and actually in the South, it really wasn't taught. You know, but, you know, people were able to, grandparents told the story. You know, here, you know, especially in Iowa, we didn't learn that much about history. So we actually organized.
30 years later, Abdul-Samad was elected to the Des Moines School Board. And in November, he won election to the Iowa House of Representatives, one of a record number of minorities in the Iowa legislature this year. But he says his district is very diverse and his race was not a factor in winning the election. Outdoor and hunting enthusiasts from Maine to California are headed for an event later this week being staged in Iowa for the first time. The National Pheasant Fest is being held at the Iowa Event Center in Des Moines. Pheasants Forever spokesman Bob St. Pierre says there will be shotguns, hunting dogs, dog training seminars, wildlife artists, and programs to tell farmers how to make their land into the best possible wildlife habitat and get government payments for doing it.
Des Moines is absolutely in the heart of the pheasant range. Well, we have more chapters in Iowa than any state. We have 103 Iowa chapters and 22,000 members.
He says they anticipate this being the biggest gathering the group has ever held. In news from the courts, a man convicted in connection with a high-speed chase in western Iowa has gotten his second-degree theft conviction reversed. But Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports it was only a partial victory.
A Crawford County deputy spotted Jason Martin Powell driving near Denison back in February of 2005 and took up a chase because there was a warrant out for Powell's arrest. During the chase, the Crawford County Sheriff put down stop sticks. As Powell drove around the sticks, he came within a few inches of hitting the sheriff, who was standing in a yard nearby. A jury convicted Powell of several charges, including second-degree theft. But Powell had left the truck's owner a note saying he intended to borrow the truck to drive to the hospital for medical treatment. The Iowa Court of Appeals has ruled there is insufficient evidence to support Powell's second-degree theft conviction. Instead, the Court of Appeals ruled Powell was guilty of the lesser charge of operating a vehicle without the owner's consent. In addition, the appeals court has reversed the felony charge of trying to elude law enforcement. But Powell's convictions of attempted murder and assault on a police officer stand. That attempted murder charge carried a 25-year prison sentence. Radio Iowa, I'm O.K. Henderson.
A lot of flyers still don't quite get the rules about what's allowed in carry-on bags. Transportation security screeners will take your toothpaste, hair gel, and other products if they're not in a bottle that's 3 ounces or less in size. Pam Hinman at the Eastern Iowa Airport near Cedar Rapids says at least they don't throw it all away.
The TSA has done a real good job when people are in that checkpoint line saying, look, I'm sorry you can't bring this on the plane, but you can donate it.
So the airport's collected 20 boxes full of those items since mid-December. Several agencies picked them up this week to go to area homeless shelters. You may already be a winner. The state's top consumer protection office and the Iowa Lottery teamed up this week to say somebody's sending what looks like a check in the mail, complete with Iowa Lottery logos that they've copied. They tell you you won a real prize, and the trick to getting it is to put that check in your account, then send them a little money. Attorney General Tom Miller says the scammer really gets your money.
They say, well, write us a check for an equal amount. Right? It's usually a wire transfer, so it's done really quickly. The wire transfer is done instantaneously, and it doesn't matter where it's directed. It can be picked up anywhere around the world, and the money is gone. And then a week later, the bank comes and says, oh, by the way, that cashier's check was a counterfeit check. That's not good. We're going to have to take that money back.
The real lottery never makes you send money back, they assured consumers, and the scam itself is a very old one. The average age of people on the campus of Iowa State University will go down considerably this weekend. Camille Sloan Schroeder is a program coordinator in the College of Engineering and directs the annual First Lego League Challenge. This year, she says the topic is NanoQuest. The kids building self-powered robots with the common toy pieces will be considering science at the size of a molecule. It's the ninth year of the Lego League competition for 9 to 14-year-olds.
We're just starting to see kids that are like in high school and making those choices. And it's amazing how many of the kids didn't even know what an engineer was or what an engineer did And then they get involved in activities such as this, and then all of a sudden they're completely turned on to it and want to do that for a career or an educational choice.
Find this story on our website, and you'll find a link to the website they've created for Iowa State Engineering Kids. And that's some of what happened and we covered on Radio Iowa this week. I'm Stella Schaffer.